Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are gathered here this afternoon to remember the life and the death of the only begotten Son of God. Of God who took on flesh. And every time I read those words from St. John's Gospel, or St. Luke's Gospel, or St. Mark's Gospel, or St. Matthew's Gospel, as we have all week long, I am cut to the heart at the fact that he endured all of this because I am a sinner, because I am wretched. He did that for me, and he did that for you, out of his great love and his compassion. Mourn not for me, Jesus told the women, but mourn for yourselves. Yes, the days on this earth are not the easiest. There is trial, there is tribulation, there is heartache, there is distress. But even as this very day we hear of our Lord's crucifixion, we know what happens next. Not even death can hold Jesus. Not the grave, not the devil, not the great weight of our sins, the wrath of God poured out upon him. St. John includes words that aren't included in the other three Gospels, words that I absolutely adore. When they go out to arrest him, Jesus asked them, "Whom are you seeking?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And then he confesses who he is. He says, "I am." And at his utterance of the divine name, the entire people who have come out to capture him, to arrest him, to eventually beat him, fall down to the ground. That is the power behind the name of our God. That is the power of the divine name that Jesus Christ himself shares as the eternal Son, but now born of Mary, suffering in the garden in deep prayer, sweating so profusely as drops of blood. This Jesus has come into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. This divine Yahweh. St. John also includes the fact that the man whom Peter's ear was cut off, whom Peter cut off the ear of, that his name is Malchus. And later on, we see that that servant's brother then questions Peter. Aren't you one of his disciples? Surely I saw you in the garden. Surely you're the one who cut off my brother's ear. All four of these Gospels together show us a full picture of our Lord's passion. Jesus stands before Pilate, a man who only has the authority to do this because it has been granted to him by the Father. Pilate says to the chief priests, he says, "You take him and judge him according to your law. I find no fault in him." But the Jews retort, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." That right had been taken from them. But this is also for God's purpose, his plan, that Jesus might be high and lifted up, nailed to the tree of the cross. St. John writes that explicitly. When he has been chastised, when he has been mocked, when he has been beaten, Pilate then brings him out again and he says, "Behold your king." But they cry out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" Then they lie we have no king but Caesar. The fact is that Jesus is the king. And not only the king of the Jews, but the king of all creation. The king of the entire universe. And this is how he is treated. This is how our God is treated. Jesus then must bear his own cross for a time, until eventually he can no longer bear it, and they call in Simon of Cyrene to assist him, to get him to the place where he is to be crucified. And then when they get there, St. John writes, they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was this: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Those four letters that you see above pretty much every cross are those letters. In Latin, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That was his crime. He is given capital punishment for being the King of the Jews, for being Jesus of Nazareth, for being the promised one, the Messiah. And they try to argue, do not say he is the King of the Jews, but rather say he said that he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate stops them. He says, what I have written, I have written. And whether Pilate knew it or not, what he put above his head that day was the absolute truth. And by writing it in Latin, in Hebrew, and in Greek, all who passed by could see exactly who Jesus was. That in his dying, he is still the king. That king will not stay on that cross. And yet the cross captures him for that time. For 6 hours, Jesus is on the cross from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Darkness covers his sin and his shame, sin not committed by him, but sin that he took upon himself, sinned by us. No, Jesus was the spotless lamb. He who knew no sin became sin for us. The weight of the sins of the world, the wrath of his Father poured out upon him, Jesus dies before the other two crucified with him. And as they come to break their legs so that they can hurry it up a little bit faster, they come to Jesus and see that he is already dead. And so to make absolutely sure, they take a spear and they jab it into his side, and from his side pour out water and blood. St. John writes, he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. From our Lord pours out from his side water that now fills the font. Blood that now will fill the cup. In his death, we see the marriage to his bride, the church. And we see his gifts poured out. His body, his blood, and the water that pours over us and cleanses us from all our sins. It is fitting that on Good Friday, we do as we have done every day this week, and we celebrate the Lord's Supper. For from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, we have the words, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Those words are in the common service on page 15 of TLH. But oftentimes, instead of those words, we would have the thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. But those words are right there along with it. So as we commune today, we remember our Lord's death. We remember his passion. We remember that his blood was poured out, that his blood was shed, that his body was given to forgive us of all of our sins. That he who had committed no sin took all of our sins, suffered death, and was buried. But I cannot leave you there, can I? I know you know how that story ends. And just a few days from now, we will gather once again, not in darkness, but in the light, and in the light of Christ, because our Lord, who is dead, is alive. He is reigning, and he has come back to return. The church sings, "Be thou my consolation, my shield when I must die. Remind me of thy passion when my last hour draws nigh. Mine eyes shall then behold thee, upon thy cross shall dwell. My heart by faith enfold thee, who dieth thus dies well." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.